Identification, this is an interview. I see that. Identification, this is an interview for the ANU Oral History Project with Emeritus Professor A.D. Hope, taking place on the 26th of April 1991. And my name is Stephen Foster, and the interview commences in 5 seconds from now. Professor Hope,
yes.
Can we start by taking you back to your early university years when you were at Oxford? Do you remember anything of those Oxford years?
Yes, I will. Quite a lot, in fact. What sort of thing would you like to know about them?
Well, what your interests were there, and what sorts of things you were studying.
Well, I was studying English, which has always been my subject, you know, and I'm not too clear now, it's a long time ago, but my tutors usually gave me weekly jobs to do, looking things up, commenting and writing, sometimes writing papers on something they'd set me to do. That went on from week to week. I think it was on a Wednesday I usually met them. And, well, there was mainly only one man, but I did C.S. Lewis, for instance, I had a short time with. Otherwise, it was mainly a man on the language side.
Was there any teacher who you found particularly inspiring?
I've forgotten so much that I can't say that any of those I met I found particularly inspiring. They set me jobs to do and I did them. And we got on quite well together, that's all I could say.
You left Oxford, and one of your teachers, I think, or one of your referees said that you had contrived to get a third.
That's true.
That you had did you walk out of an examination?
The first question he asked me when I took him on as a tutor was, now, what are you going to do, aim at the first, or are you going to enjoy yourself? I said aim at the first, of course, but I didn't achieve it.
But did you actually walk out of an examination?
I believe I did on one occasion. It was a series of examinations I was taking. And I got rather fed up with the whole thing. I think I did walk out partly, not wholly, but partly, got up and left the room and didn't go back. I can't even remember what my motive was in those days. I just got fed up, I think.
You came back to Australia and you joined the New South Wales Department of Education.
That's correct, yes.
And you engaged in school teaching for a fairly short period.
Yes. There were two short periods in which I was teaching English and then went back to what was I doing in the meantime? I've forgotten.
Well, you joined another New South Wales government department.
That's correct, yes. You'll have to tell me what I should be telling you. My memory is not as good as it used to be.
Did you enjoy the teaching? Because you were there for such a short time, did you leave school teaching because you were discontented?
I didn't I didn't enjoy it, the teaching very much. Not in the earlier period when I was teaching school children. Later on, when I was teaching college students, I found it much easier, and I didn't have to keep control. They listened to me. That was much easier. But the earlier period was rather, I didn't have much control of my class myself, and we were constantly getting at cross purposes, and I disliked that very much. Later on, I seemed to get more control. One of my troubles was I looked very young. I looked like one of the boys themselves. I remember somebody who was inspecting me came in one day and said, "Where's your teacher?" I pointed to a young chap. "Oh," he said, "I thought you were one of them." I had that problem of looking a bit too young for taking charge of a class. They could see at once that I wasn't going to have much control.
And was that what encouraged you to leave school teaching?
What was that?
Did you leave school teaching because you didn't like dealing with the younger students?
I suppose that was part of the reason for giving it up. I don't think that was the only reason, but that was certainly one of them.
Now, you joined, I think it was the Department of Labour and Industry.
That's correct, yes.
And you studied psychology,
yes,
at the same time.
And I'd been studying it earlier. I went on and finished the course since I'd changed over like that. And so there were two periods when I was studying, and one was to finish the original course, which I think was an honours course. I went back and finished off what had to be done then.
And one thing you were doing in those early years with the New South Wales government,
yes,
was visiting Canberra from time to time, where I think you tested various people.
I was had a roving commission to give some tests. I think they were mental tests of some kind. I think I did some testing at the trade school, which in the afternoons I went down and taught at. Can't remember whether I did very much in the way of testing there, but I think I began by testing all my students. And that was for the records, and I didn't do very much with that.
Were those tests in line with the eugenic movement?
I'm sorry?
Were they sort of eugenic tests?
What kind of tests do you mean?
Well, at that period, the eugenics movement had some impact.
It did, and I'm just trying to remember what it was. Can you remind me?
Well, the interest in mental capacity.
Oh yes.
Testing mental capacity.
Yeah.
And giving great significance to mental capacity.
Well, I'd
measuring.
And special abilities as
yes.
well. I'd spent several years doing that, of course, with the department, and I continued to do the same sort of thing after I left them.
When you were in Canberra, when you came on those visits to Canberra, do you remember having anything to do with the University College? Or learning anything about the University College?
It's very possible, but it's gone right out of my head. I've forgotten.
Let's come forward to when you leave the University of Sydney.
Yes.
You came for a period teaching at the Teachers College, I think, Sydney
That's
Teachers
correct,
College.
Yes. I was a lecturer there for a while. Lecturer, I think in the first year, I was a lecturer in education. The following year, I changed over to, there was a vacancy, and I changed over to be a lecturer in English. And that's what I continued to do while I was at the Teachers College.
You went from Sydney to the University of Melbourne.
Yes.
And you were teaching at the University of Melbourne.
Yes.
I think from 1946 to 1949.
Probably. I can't remember myself, but you've looked it up.
I have.
Yes.
You have any recollections of that period teaching in Melbourne?
Not a great deal. It was fairly well, I could describe it as not very interesting lecturing I had to do. I could do it quite easily, but I don't remember much about it. I'm getting on, you know, and my memory is not what it used to be.
Can you remember teaching any Australian literature at the University of Melbourne?
Oh, yes. It was part of my propaganda work to try and get them to take up Australian literature at that time, and I gave lectures and put my foot forward and pushed for the study of Australian literature in universities. And as I said at the time, it seems odd for us to be studying the teaching of English and not English literature, not paying any attention to our own, which is now has reached a considerable volume. So I did actually propagandize for what I thought ought to be done.
Now, this was your own initiative,
yes,
presumably. Was there anyone else at Melbourne, or had there been people in Sydney?
Well, there were a number of people who agreed with me that we should take up this subject in the various universities. Forced on, I got a good deal of support from other people and other universities.
Who at Melbourne can you remember especially agreed with you about the study of Australian literature?
A bit vague about that, but there was somebody, head of the English department, I think, who agreed with me that this should be a subject we took up, and the details are more or less vague in my mind. I might say things that didn't actually happen at all, but I know there was encouragement.
You applied for a job at the University College. In 1950, did you apply or were you approached?
I think I applied. A bit vague about that one too. Almost certainly I would have applied, but I think somebody stirred me up to apply, so it wasn't entirely that I did it right off my own bat.
Mm-hmm. One of the other early applicants, I guess, was Manning Clark, applying for the
chair. I believe it was.
History then. Mm. Did you have much to do with what was to be your future colleague at the Canberra University College?
Oh yes, we had known each other for a good many years before that. I saw a good deal of him while I was there. Mm.
Do you have any particular recollections of when you arrived at Canberra? You arrived in Canberra, I think, in the beginning of 1951.
Yes.
Do you have any recollections of coming here and seeing the college?
My memory is not as good as it used to be. I can't remember any very clear or definite recollection, but obviously they would have been there, coming to a new place and doing a new job.
And the other people there, there were a group of professors just arrived.
Yes.
And of course the principal was there.
Yes.
Joe Burton,
yes.
Had you known Joe Burton beforehand?
When we were living in Melbourne, his house was directly behind mine, and my children got to know him very well. He's really fond of children, and so we knew him pretty well at that time. Two houses were close together, and the children played back and forth all the time.
What sort of person was he? Was he more an academic than an administrator?
Always interested in experiment and finding out more about what he was doing, but we were working at different things and we didn't discuss them very much together. I got to know him quite well, but more or less as a neighbour and less as a fellow lecturer.
Mm-hmm. And when you arrived in Canberra, you immediately, of course, became head of the department.
Mm.
And there were already other people in the department.
Yes.
At least a couple of other people in the department.
I think there was only one at the first time, and it grew as time went on.
And you had
Mary Tull, I think, was the
and you
the one already here before me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And had you known him beforehand?
Oh, yes. We'd been acquainted and sometimes working together over a period of some years. I can't remember how many, probably four or five, I should think.
And you had the task of establishing the department.
Yes.
Creating new courses.
What was that?
Creating new courses.
Yes, all that sort of thing that goes with creating a department and finding and appointing new staff and to run the courses and so on. And all that was a natural consequence of my appointment.
And did you welcome the opportunity to do your own thing?
Oh, yes.
As they would say now.
One always does, I think. I can't remember much about that, but I know I must have welcomed the opportunity to take charge of the thing and organize it.
Did you see it as an opportunity to continue your work in Australian literature, to emphasize Australian literature?
Again, I would say, yes, I almost certainly did, but I can't recall. And I continued to press for the study of Australian literature in universities. It was very difficult at the beginning. Nearly all the professors of English in the various Australian universities were either hostile or didn't think it was worth doing. And I did lean my shoulder against the door and try to open it a bit. I think I had some effect, because within 10 years Australian literature was being taught in all the universities here. There was a good deal of resistance at the beginning.
Who were the main opponents?
Hmm?
Who were the main opponents? Where did most of the resistance come from?
I could guess, but I don't. I won't.
Mm.
I can't really recall, and my memory is not good enough to say definitely it was this man or that man.
In those early years in the University College, Canberra University College, did you find that you were having a lot of association with the University of Melbourne?
Yeah. Oh, naturally. What was going on in Canberra was really part of the university. Had at one time, at any rate, been part of something run from the University of Melbourne. Later on, the two were divided, but that's where it started.
And did you find that the courses that you taught had to fit in with University of Melbourne courses?
I didn't know there was any friction. I myself thought it was sensible to have some fitting in there, and I don't remember anybody putting pressure on me to do that. We did agree on both sides that if this was to go ahead, it would be useful for the University of Melbourne to give us some backing.
Was living in Canberra in that early period, the early 1950s, did you find yourself intellectually looking to Melbourne rather than looking to Sydney?
Uh,
Your intellectual links, were they Melbourne or Sydney?
In fact, in practice, it was Melbourne, of course. But as I came from Sydney, I was interested to see what people were doing there. And I went down several times to have discussions what their views were. Details of that I'm a bit vague about also. But yes, both were involved.
Now, while you were establishing courses at the University College, ANU, of course, what became the Institute of Advanced, or what was then the...
Yes.
Beg your pardon. What became the Institute of Advanced Studies was building up strength.
Yes.
Did you have anything to do with people in the university, in the Australian National University? People, for example, like Jeff Saw and other members of the Research School of Social Sciences?
Yes. Well, I knew them all, and Jeff Saw was a particular friend. I don't think that we were working on any formal terms together, but we were interested in what was going on, and I think probably I got support from people like Jeff and so on, who thought it was a good thing.
And what sort of social contact was there?
Oh, we lived in the same town. We saw each other quite frequently, and we'd known each other for a long time before that, so that I saw Jeff every week, sometimes several times a week. We occasionally visited each other and had dinner together and that sort of thing. It was fairly close.
And did you follow, or did you take an interest in those early years in the Research School of Social Sciences, where, of course, there was that period where Saw was dean,
yes,
and Hancock, having been first involved, didn't in fact come until 1956 or 1957.
I was interested in it, but I didn't take any formal or regular part in the development of that. And I remember having conversations with Hancock myself about the thing. Again, details got a bit dim as time went on.
Now, in those early years too, there was discussion about amalgamation or association with ANU. Can you remember, as a member of Canberra University College, seeing yourself as part of a future University of Canberra, perhaps, or a future ANU?
It must have occurred to me that we discussed that sort of thing very much at the time. I can't remember that I was directly involved in anything there. Naturally, I was interested in the development of much been going on, but as far as I remember, I took no leading or practical part in trying to foster that sort of thing. It seemed very likely to happen, and so I let it happen, and was favourable to the idea. Didn't think I did any pushing one way or another.
I'll just turn the tape over. When